We're in full election mode, aren't we now? And this week, Labor had some details about its plans for regional Australia. What were they?
Yeah, specifically in the ag sector, a big focus for Labor when it comes to this area is around jobs, and specifically those kind of blue-collar jobs that you get in places like timber mills and abattoirs. It copped some criticism from part of the agriculture industry and the government, especially lately, because of its commitment to phase out live sheep exports. But Labor says doing that would actually boost local jobs in the meat processing sector. This week, Labor announced its $25 million plan to develop a strategy for the food and fibre industry, saying it will lead to more of those jobs in regional areas. Labor Senator Kim Carr says when the government is spending money in the bush, it should benefit local workers as well as farmers.
Not only have we have a meat industry plan to make sure that we get the best out of our food processing industry, and that's what's a food and fibre plan we're announcing today, but we also want to make sure that in areas such as we've got with the Snowies, that we have opportunities for local engagement for Snowy 2.0. We want to make sure that our government procurement plans, where government contracts are issued, that we get the best use of those contracts for local industry, and so that we have both people who work on the land and people at work in terms of blue-collar jobs are able to secure the best benefit out of those things. So we do have a comprehensive approach of ensuring that people in both the rural areas and in those not just who grow the product but those who process it are able to get advantage out of the resources that this country has to offer.
Abattoirs themselves are under fire from activists, and this week detectives charged 11 animal rights activists from across southeast Queensland with trespass after protests at Yangon Abattoir in April and at a Millmerran cattle feedlot last month. We are seeing really a new level of tension between farmers and activists, aren't we?
I don't recall ever seeing this level of tension, you know, the outright, animosity and aggression between two sides spilling over into things like these trespasses, the protests that shut down Melbourne, and just the kind of frustrated reaction from farmers. But on properties, this is starting to, manifest as well. CCTV cameras, midnight drives to check on farms, extra staff put on are just some of the measures intensive ag producers are using to protect themselves against invasive protests, despite an increase in Queensland's state labour laws. Mark Young owns a piggery near Kingaroy in southern Queensland, and he says he's made significant changes around his place as a result of those recent protests.
We've sort of said, well, look, you know, we are the face of agriculture here. We're not going to lower ourselves to these people's standards. If they come on the property, that they've been briefed, they've all been given a palm card of what they have to read, what the format will be. One of the management will come and address them, and all we want you to do is take photographs of what they do. Look, if they want to get pressure pack cans and paint things on our infrastructure, take photos. You know, don't engage with them, don't talk to them, don't yell at them, don't be rude to them, don't lower yourself to their level.
Yeah, they're just saying that it looks bad on social media for farmers. And one of the arguments has been, Clint, hasn't it, that the farms in Australia are run by families. But, of course, it's not just family farms that are targets, it's abattoirs, but it's also sale yards, isn't it, that's beefing up security?
Yes, beefing up specifically in Queensland's northernmost selling centre, which has also installed cameras and implemented similar protocols for dealing with animal activists. Chris Greenwood is the chairman of the Mareeba Sale Yards, and he's clearly very frustrated by this whole movement.
This is a battle for the minds and hearts of the general consumer in Australia and attempting to turn people against rural enterprise. We could never satisfy these people. They're just outright terrorists.
So away from the activism now. The agricultural lobby in Queensland AgForce has been tallying up the cost of flooding in that state's northwest this year.
Yeah, as you mentioned at the top of the show, we are going to hear more about this later, but the devastating floods that hit northwest Queensland in Feb caused significant economic damage for those communities, a total area of at least 10 million hectares. Now, the lobby there, AgForce, has been surveying affected graziers, and those results suggest the damage bill could be approaching $2 billion, rather. They're estimating around 664 million head of cattle died in those floodwaters and the unseasonally cold winds that followed. And the General Manager of Projects at Farm Lobby AgForce, Andrew Freeman, says the losses of cattle alone would make up nearly half that $2 billion figure.
The financial loss in terms of livestock, I suppose if you use a fairly, you know, just a back of an envelope figure really of say $1,000 a head, you're probably looking up around $800 million. That's for stock losses alone. Plus then when you add in the on-farm infrastructure plus civil infrastructure like the damage that was done to railway lines and, you know, the road network, it'd have to be, you know, pushing up towards at least $2 billion.
An extraordinary amount of damage. So the pork-obsessed nation of China has been grappling with a huge outbreak of swine fever for over a year now, and the millions of pigs culled are starting to hit their wallets.
Yeah, that's right. China's consumers are paying more for their pork, but the concern in this little story we're getting into now is about the corresponding drop-off in the demand for feed, so things like soybeans and sorghum. In the US, soybean exports took a whack from the US-China trade war, but that created a boom in exports from places like Brazil and Argentina. And now Chicago-based Price Futures Group Vice President Jack Scoville says feed markets around the world have collectively taken a hit because the pigs aren't eating this feed anymore. The situation in China is making the global pork industry very nervous.
The Australian producer has every right to be concerned because it is an extremely contagious disease. And once it does get it make its way into the herd, as we're seeing in China, it can spread really quickly and really decimate the hog population, not only in China, but here in the States, in Australia, anywhere in the world.
This disease cannot be spread to humans, but as we just heard, it's highly contagious for pigs.
It is, and there's been some pretty horrific pictures emerging out of China of just how they're disposing of those sick pigs, which makes for some pretty gruesome viewing. But here in Australia, there's a new warning against feeding pigs swill. And so that includes meat or anything that has come into contact with meat because of the risk of swine fever. Biosecurity Tasmania veterinary officer Emma Watkins says it comes as the virulent swine fever virus spreads across Southeast Asia, killing, as we discussed, those millions of pigs.
And the scary thing about this virus is it's a really resistant little virus in the environment. So it can actually live in the environment for quite a long period, and it can live in products like meat products, pork products, or processed meat products, even frozen meat, for many months. There's a big chance of it moving around in those products.
Australia certainly doesn't want it. And finally, Good Friday. Yesterday is a massive day for sales of fish and seafood, but there's some industry concerns about how few of us really know where the seafood we buy comes from.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to come as, I guess, any surprise to about people not knowing where their food comes from, because we've heard this about fish for some time now. But a new study by the Australian Barramundi Farmers Association and the University of Sunshine Coast Food Research Group has been asking that question. And there's some other surprising results about just trends in consumption, basically. So AVFA Chief Executive Officer Joanne Rusco says understanding these consumer trends is particularly important during this Easter period, which is one of the busiest times of the year for Australian fish farms.
Seafood consumption is increasing overall, and particularly in the younger populations of people 24 years and older, 24 to 35 years age. And there is an emerging trend, particularly in that younger age bracket, to prefer seafood over other proteins. What that means, they're moving towards a more pescatarian diet.
Have you heard of that before?
Chicken. No, I haven't. I thought we were all becoming vegetarians, but no.
Pescatarians.
Move over chicken. Thanks, Clint.